started swimming back to the center of the ship, you know, that point we were really praying, because this was the scariest shark experience that we've had so far.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Colton.
I'm Caden.
Colton and Caden are with us today. We're going to tell you more about them here in a little bit. We've got a special episode today. Man, it is summertime and I-65 is filled with cars.
Head to the beach, baby.
North and south, traffic jams, because it's just that time of the year, man. Let's go to the coast, have some vacation time in the water. And so I think if you're in that mood, if you're in that vein, you're going to love today's show because it's all about diving. Funny tales, exciting tales, scary tales, and then at the very end, we have something that you're going to want to stick around to see. Not only is it exciting information, but you can help somebody out. So if you like to help people out, which I think you do, you'll want to hear the end of this. But without further ado, man, I'm excited to hear these. Colton, fire us up with a story.
All right, so we were out diving one day, and me and Caden had really been wanting to try some bounce diving. With bounce diving being, you're not anchored on a spot. Mom and Dad were on the boat, and we were just driving around, and we decided to go to this wreck called Pier Dan Russell Reef. It's a bunch of like box cars and different modules spread apart. Anyways, we started the dive, went down, everything was great. Found some huge fish. Big grouper everywhere, which is not common. Some big snapper, line fish, different things like that. And we started shooting them up, didn't we?
Yeah, we tore them up.
And just started feeling kind of an eerie feeling, you know. You got to think underwater too. You got to think underwater too. Like, there's not much sound. You can't really, can't hear anything come, you know. So it's that quiet, eerie feeling. And we noticed our first shark. No big deal. This is routine. The grouper keep coming, and so we keep shooting, even though that shark is there. And at that point, the sharks get a little more aggressive, and have another shark come in. And at that point, we're calling it quits. We need to go up. And at that point, I just remember feeling Caden push my head down, and turn around. The shark had ended up charging my head. Looking back at the video. I mean, you jump in and
It was pretty crazy. So I remember looking back at you and we were like, oh, one shark, we can take another grouper and head up. So we shoot that other grouper and then we're on our way back up. That one shark's at the bottom, kind of circling the grouper. We come up, we see another one. I believe it was on our left side, kind of coming in. And I just had this feeling. I was like, you got to shove his head down. And I was like, all right. So I take his head, kind of push it down like this. And then a shark goes directly where his head was. So that third one really just came out of nowhere. And it was crazy.
And so we were actually kind of tied down to the bottom because his shaft, which is tied to like a tether connected to the gun, was still in that grouper. And that grouper was on the bottom stuck in the wreck. And so as we were trying to get up, we couldn't. And so we ended up having to cut that line. And as we were going up, all the sharks kept circling us. And we didn't have that anchor. We didn't have that reference point.
I'm out already.
Wow.
Yeah. Talking about adrenaline rush. That's how you get one right there. But we were going up. They were following us. And eventually, I guess, you know, we showed that we were the alpha.
I guess so.
they just decided to go somewhere else.
They decided to go somewhere else. But I remember that day, the sharks were just acting funny. It almost seems like they were working as a team a little bit. You know, you think of like wolves or pack of lions. It's like they were taking different shots at different times. So
let me ask a few questions because I've got them. I'm not a diver.
Mm. Right.
For good reason.
So you had on oxygen tanks, obviously.
Yes.
No anchor, so no reference point. How many feet are we down?
Roughly 190 to 100.
90 to 100, I believe. Yeah.
100 feet.
Pretty far down, and you do have to make your safety stops on the way up. So that means like
means you're a sitting duck to a shark.
That's exactly 20, what that means.
15 to 20 feet, you are just floating with really no idea where you're heading, and you got to sit there for 3 to 4 minutes.
There's no quick escape.
And remember, while we're sitting there, for those 3 or 4 minutes, we do have those three sharks under us, just kind of.
I'm very, yeah, I'm sitting here thinking.
And so when you're diving,
let's just go.
Let's go up.
When you're spearfishing, you're supposed to always hold on to the fish closer to your body instead of dangle it or like letting it go if you see a shark. And, you know, For me, when we first got into spearfishing, I was like, that doesn't make any sense. After getting more experience, it does, because like the shark won't come in as close. They're, you know, they don't know what you are, just like.
That's like, you know, bullfighting.
Exactly.
But they're smelling the blood.
Yeah.
Because you have speared this fish.
Right. And when the fish flap like this.
When they flutter. It's like an alarm goes off in that shark's head and they come back.
Vibrations.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They feel that. I think I had one more question. Let me see. So we have oxygen on. We're 100 feet. And then you can't see. How do you see anything down there?
We have mask on, but. And Panama City water is not Caribbean water, so the visibility is really low. I would say typically it's around 15 to 20 feet.
Yeah, but
you have lights on or no light?
No, this is lights. Just sunshine? So, yeah, it's all sunshine. The sun can make it around 250 feet down, 300 feet down.
It is a little darker than, like, say, we're walking around right here. But you do still get light.
So you can, it's clear. You know what you're shooting.
Yes, yes.
And you said, visibility 10 feet, 15?
Usually around 15, but there are days where, I mean, I can't even see the wall.
Right.
I'm not going.
Man, I don't know either. What kind of sharks were they?
So we do see a lot of bull sharks when they're down there, but I believe that these were sandbars, because sandbars are known to hunt together sometimes. So when we saw the first one, we were like, oh, it's a bull. We'll be fine. But then the other ones came in and it kind of clicked to me like, oh, we're dealing with sandbars right now.
And sandbar sharks are very similar to bull sharks. They look very similar. They have a higher dorsal fin, but other than that, there's not many characteristics that differentiate the two. And their aggression is basically the same.
Which when is you're kind of high, right?
It is.
That's
high.
My understanding. It is a bull high, shark. Yes. He's a loaded gun.
That's correct. Yeah, they taste first and then...
No, not interested. Yeah.
But now sorry for the wound, but not what I wanted.
Golly, that's a great story, though. And way to go, big brother, for the save.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I've gotten his back a few times, and he's gotten mine probably more than I've gotten his. So that's why it's important to have a good dive buddy. You know, to always be there for you.
Yeah, I mean, I trust you when we're down there, but...
Yeah, I'm not going down by myself.
I'm not going down with both
of
you.
Come on.
No way.
You really wouldn't if it was a free trip. They had everything. I mean, it cost you nothing.
Not going.
We know a guy from tournament this past year who went down by himself, and he didn't surface where he went down, and his buddy couldn't find him. Mm-hmm. He was on the boat. They were doing that bounce diving. And he was just drifting. A different boat found him.
It has nothing to do with going down. You take me to Smith Lake, we're going. That's fine. We're going. I'll go down there with you. You put me in the ocean, I'm not going.
I'm right the opposite. I'm more confident in the ocean than Smith Lake.
Philip, you're not thinking straight.
I'm just saying, man, you can't. There's no way. Have you ever, y'all ever dove in Smith Lake or
we've
a lake?
Dove in a lake, but not Smith.
Can you see down there? That's what I didn't think. You couldn't see.
I ran into mud. That is not my problem.
You did what?
I ran into mud on the bottom before I could see it.
That's not my problem.
What's your problem?
I am very well aware that I am the smallest predator. In the ocean.
Okay. It's fair a enough. Size thing.
Absolutely. I have way less teeth than most predators.
That's true.
That is true.
Well, let's have another one. Y'all have greased me up. Let's get another story.
So I guess Colton kind of saved my back on this next shark story.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
But we were diving what's called the tarpon, and actually it was like a natural wreck. It happened in, the 1800s or something?
Like 1890s, rough storm.
Panama City.
About 12 miles out. And there was a bad storm, came through. It was an old steamer, I guess, and went down.
Anyway, went down. But a bunch of people had, like, captain and everything went down with the ship. So already on this dive, it's kind of eerie-ish.
Yeah. And that's, like, really the only natural shipwreck. I mean, there's a few, but that's the first one we dove in that area.
Yeah, so we get down there, and I mean, we're shooting up fish like we usually do. And I swam off the wreck a little bit and popped a grouper. And I turn around, and I'm swimming back to him. And I just see Colton, like, you make a shark sign when you see a shark. So he does this. I turn around, and shark's like, what, a couple feet away? And he turns and takes off. So I get back over to where Colt is. I can't remember if you had a fish on your stringer or not. I think you were holding those close to you. And at this point, he's right behind me, kind of on my tank, steering me a little bit because I have a gun in one hand and a grouper that I haven't strung up yet in my other.
And both of our guns were unloaded because we just shot fish.
Right. So literally, I don't have my shaft on there. It's just a piece of wood, pretty much. This shark comes in for its second round, grabs onto my spear gun, and starts head shaking. And I still remember very vividly, you know how sharks will roll their eyes to the back of their head?
No, I don't know nothing about
that. Well, when they're about to bite, when they're about to bite onto something, you know, because you'll see their eyes roll to the back of their head. So I see this, mouth open wide, grabs my gun, does a little head shake, realizes that's not what he's wanting, and takes off. And then he follows us for a while.
I mean, we ended up finding mom and dad, and that sucker was still coming in. This was probably the most aggressive shark that we've ever dealt with, even more than the one that charged at my head.
I mean, if I had my arm out like this, shark would have bit.
Time out. So, you're telling me that the key sign to look for is his eyes to roll back in his head.
Well,
it's
a bad sign.
There's signs of aggression before that. By the time you see that, it's like you're just praying that it's not
your arm.
Yeah.
So, but to see that, so I'm looking at Shane's eyes right now. So you're telling me that shark is this close?
He probably bit. If my hand's there, I'm holding the handle there. He probably bit around here.
I mean, we have what 48 inch guns, and the shaft is somewhere around that, and he was halfway down the shaft.
I'm talking about this, and this is a big shark.
Big shark,
big boy,
probably 8-9 foot somewhere in there. So
the closest I ever got to a shark was off the Queens Islands, off of Louisiana, Mississippi coast out there. I think it's called the Queens Islands. Anyway, we're standing up fishing in a skiff boat, and the shark swam under the boat that was as long as the boat. I'm not even in the water, and chill bumps just went all over my body, and my legs just got like jello, and I just sat down, and I went. Ugh. I was just thinking, hey, but y'all are in the water. With those.
Are you okay? So they are you've heard the saying, a fish out of water. You are the human in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You've entered
their realm.
Yeah, no.
So I interrupted you. You said y'all had the fish, you're headed up, he bites your gun. And you said, but y'all made it out. Obviously, you're here today.
So we started swimming back to the center of the ship. You know, at that point, we were praying because this was the scariest shark experience that we've had so far. And we didn't know what was going to happen. Made it back to like the center of shipwreck. And really, this is an exposed shipwreck because it's been underwater for so many years. A lot of it's rusted out. And the only thing that's left is really the engine room that has any like sort of shelter, I guess you could say. And he charged back in one more good time, and I got my shaft and just stabbed him on the nose. And I mean, it affected him, but I mean, he wasn't in pain enough to.
He didn't care all that much.
No, he didn't.
Is that penetrating his skin?
Skin is so tough that it's really hard to penetrate. And I mean, we don't want to hurt the sharks. Like, we don't want to cause too much harm to them.
That's not gonna bother this guy. There you go. Yeah.
We just don't want them to keep coming back.
Understood.
We want to give them a sign, like, don't mess with us.
Yeah.
And so some of the sharks respond to that when we stab them. Others don't. Depends on the shark, I guess.
Yeah, and I can remember that kind of being the moment that you really had my back, because I was back there. Obviously, I'm in shock because it just bit the gun. And then I still hadn't strung that grouper up. So I was back there putting a grouper on the stringer, and
I remember the chaos. Shark. I lost my grouper. Kind of back at the start of the story, though, I just remember looking back, and there was a shark just a couple feet away from Caden. I gave him the shark sign, and underwater, you know, you can't really talk. So you go like, ooh, ooh, shark, you know?
Yeah.
I'm out, dude. I'm telling you, I'm out on
you're
all
just
of
not
this.
Interested. No. Okay. Well, we'll get their story. That's the great thing about a story is you can live it and not have to actually be under there. So that's good. Dude. Well, keep going, man. Those are, you start off with two fireball stories, yeah. Man. What you got next?
Let's see. I think back to one of the greatest summers ever. And our dream fish that summer was a cobia. Do y'all know what a cobia is?
Big brown fish.
Yeah, big brown fish. Kind of resembles a shark in a way. But yeah, so we were just all summer. We were just watching videos how to get a cobia. And a cobia, they're usually very free spirited, I guess you could say. They're just kind of everywhere. They move around a lot. They're everywhere and nowhere at the same time. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Like a big bug.
Yeah.
It's hiding.
Anyways, my mom and dad had to go home. Dad was starting school again. It was early August. And Caden's fiance now, but at the time girlfriend's dad has a boat down there and has a house in Venture Out where we have a house. His name's Andy Bearden and he runs a charter. Anyways,
yeah, just in case you're looking to go out. Yeah.
We went out diving with him that day and we went to a place called Span. What was it? Span 2, I believe it was.
Something like that, yeah.
Just probably 4 miles off the beach. Didn't expect much of it. And so we're going down the anchor line. And a span is like these old bridge spans. So it goes really high in the water column. And so we're just shooting some small fish, you know, just enough to get dinner. Like I said, I didn't expect much out of that dive. And I had saw a shark earlier in the dive, but he was just doing his thing, you know, not coming in after us, not any aggression. And it was towards the end of the dive at this point and came around the corner and I see this cobia, and I see multiple cobia. And the next thing I see is a bull shark and they're riding that bull shark. And I decide to take a shot. On this cobia, because I mean, at that time it was my dream fish. I'm not going to let it go away. Took the shot and bull shark got scared of the sound of the gun and left. And we were there to fight the cobia and he was just going around in circles and circles and circles, dragging me with him. And Caden thankfully went and grabbed the shaft of the cobia and just got it real close. And then I went over to him and took my knife and started what we call stoning the fish. It's when you
you brain them, stabbing them.
You stab them with a knife, kill them. And yeah, so we were able to get the cobia, and I remember getting back on the boat and like having that brother moment where we were like, we just accomplished what we wanted to.
Yeah,
all
it
summer.
Was good, but and, bro, I can remember I was following you, and I saw the shark ahead of you, and the cobia on the back, and I can just remember being like, don't do it.
Yeah. Don't miss.
Of course. Miss. I was like, dude, you're going to shoot that shark. But no, I mean, it worked out.
If you shoot the shark, who gets to hug the shark? That's what I want to know.
I mean, Dive Buddy does, right?
That's right. That's what I would have put it on to. So two questions. One, how big is this cobia?
I remember he was 47 to the fork, 53 total, I believe. So
pounds?
Inches. Inches.
He was pushing 4 feet.
He was probably about 30 pounds. So
it's a good fish. It's a good fish. That is a good one. And then second question, let's say you weren't Bullseye Bob and you bullseyed that bull shark. What's the next step?
That's a good question.
Didn't think through that.
I mean,
it was worth the risk.
It was worth the risk. I mean, there was enough separation, you know, where I felt confident, but if it did go into the shark, I'd probably have to cut the line on that spear gun. I would try to pull it. Shark skin is just so thick though. Like it would take a lot for a spear to go into them.
Yeah. And at that distance, it probably wouldn't have went in.
No.
Because how long's the shot? That's another question. How like, okay, you're here. Cobia and the bull shark are there. When we talking 10 yards, 30 yards. I mean, I don't even know how far a spear gun will shoot.
What would you say?
10 to 15 yards maybe in there.
Yeah, it's not anything crazy. There's only so much line that's on that tether.
Yeah.
I bet the shot was 10 yards.
Probably. I would agree with that. Yeah.
You got to lead them like you do a dove.
Yeah, you do. But you can't do it so far ahead because they will instantly just turn and go back.
Yeah, yep. Like you shoot here, they're like, we've had that happen a few times. Yeah.
Like and a fighter pilot.
And it depends on the fish too. Like, we shoot a lot of little mahi-mahi. In the Gulf, they don't get big like you see like in like Costa Rica or anything like that. But yay big.
Is that dolphin?
Yeah.
The real pretty yellow
blue. Yes,
I've always wanted to catch one.
Yes, and they school together. But man, they're always going forward. You know, they don't break what the school is doing. And so you have to shoot ahead a little bit. And they're such a small target too. But you have a fish like a snapper. It's more of, you want them at an angle like this, so you can get that kill shot on them.
I have one story about mahi-mahi.
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
My dad, bonus story for you. When I was probably 8, 9 years old, I took a boat down the Tombigbee with my dad and a friend of his, from all the way down Tombigbee into the Alabama River, down through Mobile and into Mobile Bay. When we get into Mobile Bay, we stayed at his friend's place that was there in the bay. And my dad, he had a little skiff, like a John boat. Mm-hmm. And so we would go fishing out in the bay. And we've never fished deep sea fishing ever. I mean, we were Podunk, Hayden, Alabama.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of money to be going to the beach. So this was an excursion. So we're out in this skiff, like a 12-foot, 14-foot John boat. And my dad's fishing like we would on the
Logan's Fork River, 3 feet.
Yeah. Just kind of tossing off the edge, you know, and we're sitting there. And I mean, I'm sure people that did it regularly were probably looking at us like, what are these hillbillies doing? You know? So I'm just enjoying the ride. You know, I'm having a big time. And it's kind of coming up a little storm out there, but it's not nothing too bad. But my dad was like, hey, we probably need to go in pretty soon. I was like, yeah, that's fine, Dad. Well, he gets a bite on his, and it's like, oh, man. Well, he sets the hook. He's got it. He's on.
Mm-hmm.
That fish begins to drag us around Mobile Bay in this skiff. And I'm getting a little bit concerned. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. What are you attached to? Like, I didn't think anything could pull this boat around.
Bass don't do this usually.
Yeah, this is not something a catfish would do, pull you around the bay. And he's, you know, he's fighting and he's reeling it in. And he's like, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have a dip net. We've got a fishing pole, an 8-year-old, and the man on the line.
Y'all are totally prepared.
We're all completely right. prepared. So he's fighting it, and the storm's getting closer and closer and closer. But he is to the point now, okay, he's a fisherman. He's not cutting the line. Like, this is not.
Right. Yeah.
We're getting this thing in, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
He pulls, he finally gets the fish in. And it's a huge dolphin. What they kept saying is a dolphin. I guess it was a mahi-mahi, mm-hmm. which I was like, I've never seen anything like this. And like you said, most of them are really small.
Yeah.
But it was huge. And, well, it's huge to me as an 8-year-old. And it was big enough to pull a boat around. So who knows how big it really was. But in my mind, I'm like, this is the biggest fish I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
I can't believe we got this in. So we get it in. But guess what happens then? The storm has already approached us, and we are paddling back to the shore.
Oh, after you don't have a motor.
Ain't got a motor. Oh. No. No, we ain't got a motor.
Keep going. What are we
paddling back to to the shore in the middle of the storm, and it's just pouring down rain. But my dad is happy as a lark. I mean, he's grinning ear to ear.
George Washington across the Potomac up there. Like, paddle this boat. Napoleon, stand up here, Captain Morgan.
Yeah, he's coming in, buddy. We get it drenched, and we of course show his friend the fish that we caught, and he's like, "Man, I've never seen one that big here. That's insane!" And I can't believe. How did you catch it in this boat? And I mean, it was a whole tale. And my dad met it.
I saw a Texas rig worm out there, green pumpkin.
It's crazy. I've
never seen anything like it.
It was that. So that's my mahi mahi story.
Well, that's cool, man. Yep.
In the storm.
Big walk. Catches the state record. That mahi and doesn't even know it.
So we had it for dinner. That was dinner.
Oh, and that's delicious. I think this is a good time to let everybody know a little bit more about you guys. So we've had some good stories. So Colton and Caden are both whites. As you see in the background there, white real estate. And Caden is the one on the... on the new commercial. So he's the newest. So you just graduated Sanford.
That's right.
And you've simultaneously gotten your real estate license.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had a lot of big things go on.
There has been a lot going on. I was joking a minute ago. I was like, man, I got to take mom and dad's song down.
Hold on, let me change this real quick.
Man, congratulations.
Thank you.
So what's the next step for you?
So just graduated Sanford. I got the real estate going. And then I also own like a pet store, hopefully. Building an actual place here off of Hayden in a couple of maybe a year or so. But I think I'm gonna do real estate for next couple of months and then might actually go in and use my marketing degree for something. We'll see what God has in store for me.
That's it.
Maybe shark wrestling or
something. Maybe something like that.
Charter fishing, you know. We'll see.
So where are you at in life?
I'm at Sanford University right now. Just finished sophomore year and going into junior year. Pursuing a degree in nursing, and I'm hoping to go on and do nurse anesthesia.
Yeah.
So that's the plan right now. Yeah.
Well, good. Man, that's awesome. So you're fixing to actually go into the nursing program probably, or are you already in it?
I'm already. So Sanford does it a little different. They actually started a semester early. They accept you into the nursing program as a freshman. And so you start actual nursing classes spring of sophomore year. Where? So it's, and I don't have to go through the summer too, which is a plus. So. Yeah.
So you're out right now?
I'm out right now. I'm actually doing a pharmacology course to get ahead next semester.
Good for you. Smart.
I'm trying to probably work next semester too. So
smart. Well, good deal. Well, next story. What y'all got next? Where are you taking us now?
This is really short and there's really not a ton to this story. It was just a great moment for me. But we were down there diving just like off in Panama City, just like any other dive trip we'd go on. There's these like pyramids down. And I went to one pyramid, Colton went to the other. They're about 20 feet apart, so we're plenty close enough. Anyway, I hear the gun go off, so I turn. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go help him get this fish on the stringer or do whatever. I look back at Colton, and his finger is just lodged in a snapper's mouth. And I mean, the thoughts going through my head, I was like, I don't even know how to explain my brother lost his finger to a snapper. I don't remember if it was a mangrove or a cabera, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Both of them have pretty thick teeth. And I get over there and I think I'm yanking the snapper from you and you're sitting there with your other hand trying to like get the snapper's mouth open.
You know how we're talking about making noises underwater. I was making some noises underwater. I was like,
I'll never forget that image of turning around and your finger being stuck in a snapper.
Yeah.
How did you
fish attached?
How did this happen?
It was what we like to call user error on my part.
Okay.
I shot the fish. And so when you put them on stringer, you can either go through the eyes or you can go through the gills. And I like going through the gills because I think the fish look funny in pictures when their eyes are poked out. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And you got to prove the fisherman's tail with a picture, right? And so I was going through the gills and he just wasn't having it. He just wasn't opening his mouth. So I stick my finger in there trying to pull it open and he had other plans. He was still pretty lively and cabera snapper and mangrove snapper have really strong jaw pressure because they eat a lot of crustaceans. And so he was testing my finger out thinking it might have been a crustacean or something. He chomped down and
one last Yahoo.
yeah, that's right. His teeth went in my finger a little bit. It was painful. I didn't know if I was getting my finger back at the time. Mm.
I know. I was like, is it even in the mouth or am I going to have to clean this fish and dig out a finger? Oh.
Now, what's a pyramid? Is it concrete structures?
Yeah. So it's man-made. A concrete pyramid is all it is.
The state put those out there.
Yeah. They put them out. They're for groupers and amberjacks. Just kind of to help.
It's an artificial reef.
Yes.
It's artificial reef. Yeah. Just.
We fished them one time. We found them off the Gulf Shores. Yeah. You know, you can buy the program that tells you GPS where things are under the water. And we went out and found some and we did pretty good. We started, you know, catching no fish and then we found those and we started catching fish. So they were definitely around them, no doubt.
This time of year you can get
30 feet though, not 100.
Yeah, everything we're doing is around 100. But yeah, you can get out there this time of year before the snapper population takes a big hit and you can usually find you some pretty good snapper out there. Gag groupers closed right now, but there's been some pretty good gags this year on them. So
yeah,
they hold a lot of fish.
I think I'd dive with them at 30. I don't know that I'd dive with them any deeper than that. Would you dive at 30?
Buying or selling a home should be an exciting and enjoyable time. One thing can position you for the best outcome, and that is experience. The team at White Real Estate has many years of experience in helping their clients maximize their sales and secure the properties and homes of their dreams. Give Darren and Rhiannon White, Caden White, or Ryan Love a call today and begin your journey on a pleasurable buying or selling experience.
No.
Okay.
Fair enough.
About three. Maybe.
Okay. You would snorkel?
I would snorkel. You've got to remember, well, just this past week, a young girl lost her arm and part of her leg and her hand just this week. She wasn't diving. She was just swimming around in the water.
Was she around the beach?
Yeah.
I heard that she was in like knee deep water.
Pensacola. It was Pensacola. Pensacola.
Man, I hate to hear that.
It was a bad
deal. It's real. I mean, they are one of God's killing machines.
Yeah.
Sharks.
Made to eat.
Killer whales, grizzly bears. Mm-hmm.
Polar bears.
They're designed.
Lions, tigers. You know, all those things.
I mean, he looks like a missile. I mean, a shark looks like a missile in the water.
They're designed to eat.
Yeah.
I think we've definitely had some fear instilled into us now after those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Definitely have a new respect for them.
Yeah. Not that we didn't respect them before, but we've seen what they can do when they want to do it. So,
man, that's incredible. So we were talking and you said something about a Goliath grouper, which are humongous.
Huge.
What's the Goliath grouper story?
All right. So it was that same time frame that we got the cobia. We're out on Andy Bearden's boat and doing another bridge span. And it just turned August. So that's the opening of amberjack season. So we're like, we're going to go get us some amberjack. And that's what we did. So we went down on this bridge span and saw the amberjack that I liked. Thought he was big enough. So took a shot on him. It was a good shot. But the amberjack woke up. And if you don't know too much about amberjack, is they're like the bulls of the ocean. They
call them donkeys because of how hard they work.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a heck of a fight. And so started fighting this amberjack and I was just spinning in circles. He actually like slapped my mask and kind of knocked it off a little bit. Got it back on, but just spinning in circles. And then next thing I know is that this huge Goliath grouper, don't even really see it coming, just opens its mouth and takes in the amberjack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just slurps it down. My hand was probably about that far from the Goliath grouper's mouth, but it just stops. Like, it's like I was spinning and then I'm just there.
Yeah, I remember that. And he tried to grab onto it, but I think the spear hit him in his mouth, so he'd spit it out and then re-grab it again.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Like, kept going back and forth like that.
He spit it out probably three or four times before I got the fish back. And at like one point, I just gave up. I was like, I'm not getting it back.
I think that was around the time I showed, like swam over to you. And I can remember just taking the butt of my spear gun and just trying to bang this grouper to get
so
it off.
So he's just hanging out by you? He's not swimming away from you?
No, he just took my fish and decided to be our friend, I guess. He was like, I got what I want. I'm good with y'all now.
And
I think he's 1,000 pounds.
A thousand
pounds.
He was safely 600 plus.
Yeah, he was in that range. I mean,
once something gets so large, it's kind of hard to tell.
I get it, but give me some kind of like with your hands. How tall is he?
I don't know. From top to bottom, and then you got width. That's again like that. I mean, he is.
We'd probably have to do both arms.
And in length, is he over 6 feet long? 5 feet, 6 feet, probably.
I think he's probably five and a half.
It's probably a Charlet.
I mean, he deserves his name, Goliath.
Charlet Yearling in the water. That's great. Because I'm sitting there, because I saw a video one time where this guy had this shark. It was sort of flipping on top of the water, fishing. And out of nowhere comes Sasquatch and just dominates, takes the whole thing. And it happens so fast. You're just thinking, what was that? But it's gone. Everything's gone. And you're down there hanging out. He's hanging out with you.
Yeah, yeah. I think we had some bad blood after that because I wanted my fish and he wanted my fish. I was like, that was our dinner tonight. Yeah. I need that.
You don't eat those, like the Goliath grouper.
They're not open. They're illegal to harvest. Illegal to harvest.
I think they just started where you can like enter a raffle like you would with a gator hunt and get a tag.
Yeah.
I think they started doing that.
People catch them, but they just cut them back.
Yeah, you just let them go.
Yeah, anyways, like I just kept on tugging on my shaft, trying to get it back. And he kept on trying to eat it, and he would spit it back out because he couldn't get the shaft down.
What's this?
Big long
metal thing. Yeah.
But man, when I got that fish back, he was tore up. His skin was pulled off. But you know, we ate him that night. He tasted good.
Still tasted good.
Yeah.
Just with a glass bite on it. Now, you did want that amberjack. I'm telling you, he's got it. And I'm like, okay, cut the line. Moving on. We'll go get another spear and try this.
Well, I really did not think we were going to get him back. I was very surprised.
No, the shaft was stopping him. He couldn't get it.
Yep.
But
you had a challenge some time back. And this challenge he's going to share with us is going to lead us to the part that I was promising at the beginning. So let's start there. Tell us about that time you went through. It's summertime. The days are heating up and the grass is growing. You don't want to spend all that time out there in your yard cutting grass, so why don't you go on down to West Blunt Lawn and Tractor and see Amy and let her put you on a brand new commercial Husqvarna or Exmark lawnmower. Beyond commercial lawnmowers, she has implements such as weed eaters, chainsaws, leaf blowers, and more. Parts, service, right here in Hayden, Alabama. Located right on 160, stop in there and see Amy today and learn how she can help you to get to enjoy more of your summer right now.
Like I mentioned before, summer of 2020 was a rough time for a lot of people. But us, we were at the beach and it was a great time. It's probably the best time of my life, getting to do the things I love. And I was really at a spiritual high, just pursuing the Lord with everything I had. And I just felt that he was preparing me for something. I noticed a lump that summer in my groin area. And it wasn't just a little lump. It was pretty big. And I struggled with health conditions a lot of my life. So I was fearful of what this might be. So I went to the doctor and no labs were showing anything like cancer or anything like that. But she knew because my past medical history, I needed to get checked out. So they put me, got appointment with a surgeon, and he gave me two options. He said, I really don't think this is anything, so we can push it off or we can go ahead and do it. And me and mom prayed about it and we said, we need to go ahead and do it. And I remember it was a Wednesday, August 26th of 2020. I just got back to our house and the doctor called and said, Miss White, are you with your family right now? And she said, yes. And put it on speakerphone. And he said, Colton, you have a very aggressive form of cancer. It's diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. And man, that, those words just will wreck you. In 15, you know, you don't expect to go through something like that. So I went and had PET scan and MRIs following days. They found it was stage 4, and that didn't discourage me too much because I knew the Lord was working through it. And so the plan was to go through intense chemotherapy, and that's what I did. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks a week at a time, and I would go home for 2 weeks. But at times I would have to go back in during those 2 weeks just because the side effects were so bad. And I just remember like having days where I couldn't walk on my own, throwing up, and like being 15 at the time, the worst thing ever is look in the mirror and see yourself bald and sick and not like yourself. And the social isolation too is just something that people don't really look at, especially as a teenager when everyone's out living their life and moving on with their life. And I was isolated and that was really hard. They would do these lumbar taps too. So they would take a needle about this big and they would have to put it in my spine and give me chemo. Because the cancer was basically everywhere, including like on my skull and my spine. So I went through that intense chemotherapy. Some other side effects were like these big mouth sores from methotrexate, and they were so bad you couldn't even swallow. The only way that I could get food down is if I was on oxycodone or morphine.
Goodness gracious.
And my cancer journey did not stop there. I thought after I was done with chemo, you know, everything would be great and dandy again. Mm-hmm. And so when I did hear the words, I was in remission, I was happy and I was excited, but I was still feeling the effects of cancer then. And still to this day, I truly do suffer with, PTSD a little bit. I'll have dreams and nightmares and things like that.
I can't imagine.
Just yesterday, I had an MRI for something not related to my cancer story. But, I mean, it's just little triggers like that that'll take you back to that moment of desperation and just fear. But I'm learning to how to find goodness in everything through that.
So, how long have you been in remission now?
3.5 years.
Fantastic.
So grateful for it every day.
Yeah, God just, be the glory. Yeah.
Yeah, just to be here and be able to live life. I noticed that I take the little things and appreciate them a little more now.
I get your chill bumps, man. That's something we fail to do, buddy, but that's a great word.
Absolutely.
Well, what this led to something else, and this is the thing we've promised. So what did this lead to?
Yeah, so this led to an organization called Die for a Cure that we created in, let's see, July of 2021. After my cancer journey, I really wanted to give back because to an extent, I kind of struggled with the fact that I got to live and others don't. And I need to help those who are still struggling. We got to beat this. We got to beat cancer in general. And so I started this organization called Dive for a Cure. And it just combines my love of diving with trying to raise money for childhood cancer awareness. And we first started by just by running this organization through Hayden High School. We sold like t-shirts and cookie brownies and things like that. And I got to speak at a Friday night football game and just bring awareness to cancer in the local community. And that did great. We raised about $2,500 to $3,000, somewhere in there. I can't.
$2,848. I actually posted the picture this morning.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And so we donated the money through Children's, and Children's really liked the idea. They were impressed with it, and they decided to make it bigger. And so that created Die for a Cure, sponsored by Children's.
Wow.
And so we decided to do a spearfishing tournament through Panama City, combining what I love and getting to do what I love while also bringing awareness to this cancer. And so the past two summers, we were able to raise $12,000 by doing that. And this summer, we're planning on doing that again. And we're actually growing a little bit. We're going to sell shirts in the local community. I'm really passionate about getting Hayden involved in this. It's the town that we love, that I grew up in, that Dad grew up in. Mom and Dad grew up in. And so we want them to be a part of it too. So, yeah.
So how specifically can, if somebody's watching right now, they think, hey, I want to be part of this. I want to help out. How specifically can they help out?
Yeah. So I would say the big thing is through donations and sponsors, or just buying a t-shirt.
And then we can link, how can they pay? Is there a website that they go to?
Yeah, so we're going to do it through Venmo. We're creating a Die for a Cure Venmo. And you can jump in on this too, because, I mean, this is a family. This is a family effort. This is our ministry, so everyone's involved. So you can notify us on Facebook that you want a shirt, or Instagram, or if you just see us in person, and then you can Venmo, and we'll have a spreadsheet, and all these shirts should come in early July.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was saying, I kind of do like the Instagram, Facebook, the more marketing side of it. And if you go on either of those pages, there will be like a link that will go to Children's where you can donate. There will be the Venmo link that you can go to donate there. And then like a t-shirt price, all of that good stuff is going to be listed very clearly on either of the social medias.
You'll give me that link, and then I can post it on this video so they can
absolutely
go.
Yeah.
So look for that link coming up.
I want to know, who's donating the shark suits, the chainmail stuff?
That's all I need. They look like a knight down there. Hey,
maybe, if you get
the medieval.
Here's
man.
What I'll say: if anybody out there, chainmail manufacturer,
be careful what you fitness say.
If you can get me in a shark suit, I will participate in the Dive for a Cure.
Come on the boat with us.
Yeah, hold on, man. So what's your... Hold on, let's just recap here, because I'm not going to edit this out.
Yeah, I already said it.
This is staying, boys.
Good.
So if somebody donates you some sort of a chainmail suit, you're saying
suit.
Right now that you'll go down there and dive.
I'll be there.
After saying at the beginning of the show you would never do it.
Your heart's been moved. Is that what you're telling me?
It's been moved.
If somebody donate this man a chain, man, because I want to go down there and see that. Wow, that would be crazy. Man.
I would win it, just so you know.
Okay. Well, you'd definitely be first to the bottom.
Yeah, I'm going all the way to the bottom of that suit, buddy.
Man. Well, donate Shane a chainmail suit. Let's donate to this cause, creating some awareness, and let's buy a t-shirt. Man, we're gonna get all that linked up, put in here. But wow, one of the most exciting shows we've ever had. Just things I don't know, I knew nothing about, and you guys are great storytellers and just took me under the ocean, under the sea. And just, I feel like time's just flew by.
We ain't even seen Arrow yet. Mm-mm. The mermaid. No mermaids.
No Arrow.
No mermaids.
I'm a redheaded chick.
Keep Thor out of here. What was her dad's name? Wasn't Thor.
No, it wasn't Thor. It's
Trident.
There you go. He had the fork thing. The Trident.
Yep.
But anyway, man, well, great guest, great show. I hope you've enjoyed it and you have an opportunity to do something great for the world through this today. But this is Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Colton.
I'm Caden.
We'll see you next week.